Welcome to the Power User Podcast. I've forgotten all my lines because I'm nervous and we're on camera.
Take two.
No, wait a minute. I was going to keep going with that.
Go ahead.
Welcome to the Power User Podcast. Trying to be professional now because we're on camera. With me, as always, is Derek Batting. Hello, Derek.
Hello,
how are you
Kristen.
Doing?
Hello, people.
And Brad Wardell. Brad?
Why am I here?
I don't know why you're here. You're nothing but trouble for me.
Well, I'm gaping your Well, you went to camera school, right?
Yes, camera school.
Camera school.
Which is why this particular podcast is so very hard for me emotionally.
I see. Yes, this.
You've never worked at this level of professionalism, have you?
That is correct. You've gotten that right.
Well, I am speaking into the microphone. Isn't that what you wanted? And I'm supposed to look into the camera.
Don't look directly into the camera.
Don't look.
We can see the fear in your eyes.
All right.
Yeah, by the way, you know that it's only a matter of time before we're the next Star Wars kids.
Yeah, I know.
Right? If we go like this, someone's going to put a lightsaber in my hand.
I know. So let me explain a couple of things to our fabulous audience who's stuck with us for a year and for some reason has asked for a video podcast. And for the last 2 days, the three of us have been sitting here going, why did we agree to do a video podcast again?
For the record, I wasn't here.
Fine. He was still saying it, though, from the IM, you know, on the interwebs. He was saying it to me. Why are we doing this? So this is what we have here, people. This is the room that we normally record this podcast in. This is generally the ultra-professional setup that we have. And I think you'll agree, it's pretty impressive. It looks like we've spent, oh, I don't know, tens of dollars on our setup. This is the conference room at the Stardock headquarters. And so here we are with our wonderful lighting and professional camera setup.
I thought I ordered three burgers.
You know, Brad, it's kind of loud.
What?
The rustling of the...
That's the idea.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, here we are. Basically, this show is a work in progress, as it always has been. But this video cast, what the plan is this week we're winging it, because we don't have a lot of time to put something together. Am I right or am I right, Derek?
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't edit either.
Yeah, it's going up live.
Because
there's nothing
to
cut
to. And then we shift.
Yeah, I know.
It's gonna look tacky.
Yes.
You're complaining about my...
Well aware of that, yes. So, Brad.
I'll put it away.
Thank you. So, what we thought we'd do is give you a little taste of what the normal podcast is like, and then next time we do this, which might be in about a month, we'll see what the response is to this show.
Maybe
in about a month, we'll actually do something different. Who knows? Perhaps something better. It's unlikely, but it's possible. Thank you, Brad. So what have we got this week? What's going on in the news? So there's actually some big news with the airlines and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You can't bring stuff on planes. What the heck
happened? Stuff, liquids and gels primarily.
Yeah, some kind of terrorist attack.
A thwarted terrorist attack.
Fantastic. First of all, yay, fantastic.
Yay,
I'm glad.
UK. That's why when I rip on Europe, it's never on the UK, because Great Britain is great.
Because... Ukrainians are wonderful.
We dig Ukrainians.
We love Ukrainians.
Ukrainians.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they thwarted it. It was their intelligence. I'm sure the U.S. had some minor involvement, but essentially the plot was that two terrorists would go onto a flight, each containing a chemical. Ooh. Oh, I had the vapors.
Oh, my God.
And
how shocking.
Yes. Each terrorist would have one half a chemical that, when combined together, would form an explosive. And then using an electronic device that was
like
disguised.
Like a cell phone, right? Was it a cell phone?
A cell phone or whatever, a Game Boy or whatever.
Oh,
something
right.
That looked like an electronic
Innocuous.
Gadget would be combined and turned used to be a detonator. And then, boom. And they're going to do this on a mass scale. They actually rounded up 14 people that they caught doing this, which is
wow.
enough for 7 transatlantic flights.
Oh, my God.
So in response, the none of us can bring fluids onto airplanes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Or iPods, laptops, cell phones, Blackberries, car keys, anything.
And, you know, that's a funny thing. And this is why you watch Power User TV.
That's right.
Watch.
Watch.
Is that they are what they're not telling you is not is they're keeping the worst part away. Yeah, you can't bring fluids. Boo-hoo. But they're also not allowing you to bring on any electronic devices, which for our audience is death. I mean, if I can't take my laptop on a trip, I ain't going. Because what am I supposed to do? Am I going to pack it in my luggage?
And just hope it survives?
And hope it survives. I'm going to go across country and go over to, you know, Ziff Davis or Computer Gaming World. I'm like, right. Well, sorry, which is Ziff Davis until they got sold to Microsoft and the kind of. But we're not covering that week.
No.
Because I forgot about that.
Yes.
Which I suck.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. No. Now that we've established that.
Which anyone who's been watching or listening to our podcast already knows. Why am I sitting in the middle anyway? It's not even my show.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're sitting in the middle because I have this lovely microphone stand, which doesn't... Don't touch the microphone! Which actually comes up off the floor and nicely over in front of me, whereas you guys have these piddly little things.
Well, we didn't buy them.
And let me just tell you all. Starduck bought these. I bought this.
Wow, Starduck really sucks.
Starducked.
Whatever it's called.
Right. So, yeah. So anyway, right now it's apparently no electronics on the planes, which is death. I'm hoping they'll loosen up in about 3 weeks when I have to fly to Denver for a trade show. And I kind of need my laptop for that. So we shall see.
I'm not going to that.
I know. Ha ha. Because you know it's a marketing thing. It's nonstop drinking. Speaking of which.
Oh, I heard that.
Sorry. To the new show.
You're drinking at work? Is that?
Yes. Sorry, I need a chaser.
Well, I have Coke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's smooth.
Do you need a chaser?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Don't drink, kids.
You guys are nasty.
It isn't pleasant.
Oh, but we drink it anyway.
I got some kind of rot gut.
This
oh,
is why
man.
You guys can never approach me with my level of professionalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Margarita boy.
All right. So, yeah, I've been to Vegas with you, so.
Yeah, do you remember much?
It's a little bit. Anyway, let's not get into drinking stories, although I'm sure our audience would love it. Let us, in fact.
Find us in the chat room for that.
Yeah, really. Let us, in fact, move. Oh, chat room. Speaking of which, I promised a shout out. Elianth, this shout out's for you. Do you like that, Elianth? How do you like that now? Okay, so Elianth, woohoo! Never got a shout out before.
Well, now he has.
Now he has.
And I'm supposed to say, for some reason, virtual meringue.
Why? Virtual meringue.
I've been badgered by Mark.
Yes.
For a week about this.
I see.
Why? I have no idea.
I don't
but
know.
There it is. That's for you.
There it is.
Moving on.
Anybody you want to shout out to? Brad? I suspect there's a new person in your life that you want to give a shout out to.
Yeah, kudos to Ashley. Woo-hoo. My 3-day-old daughter.
Yeah! Woohoo! Ashley Wardell. If you're wondering why this podcast looks so terribly, terribly thrown together at the last minute, it's because it is. It's because Brad had, I don't know, something in his life going on that was taking up his time. Turns out it was a new baby.
I'm a breeder.
He's a breeder.
Breeder.
But you're
first
done with
girl.
That, right? No What's, more?
No, there might be another.
Maybe another 8, 9.
I know 3, 4 more kids.
Shooting
I mean,
for a football team.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a good tax deduction. But as I've explained to my boys, and this is a true story, the reason why we're going to keep shooting until we got a girl is because boys aren't as nice as girls when it comes to dealing with their parents when they become old and decrepit, and I don't want to be put into a home, whereas a daughter is more likely to take me into her house with her husband.
Possibly.
Yes, more likely. So I only have one girl, so I may need more girls.
You might need more girls.
So that way they can... You know, scoop me around because I intend.
And wipe afterward and all that.
Well, I'm going to outlive my wife just genetically. And I plan to have autism. I'm going to make it my business to have autism. And
do you mean Alzheimer's?
What did I say?
He's halfway there.
I forgot. I can't remember the term. I'm making it my business to have whatever it is she said. Yeah, the one, the forgetful one where you get mixed things up and you get kind of.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Where am I?
What are we doing here?
Oh, yeah. Just keep talking, monkey boy. Yeah. Dance, monkey!
You know, if I ever get rich, this is going to come back to haunt me.
Yes, it is.
And my political career.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're never running for president, mister. The best you can hope for is senator.
I'll be on a moveon.org. Like, this is Brad Wardell.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, welcome, Ashley Grace Wardell. Welcome to the world. We're very happy to have you here. And congratulations to Debbie Wardell, who is the other half of the Wardell duo.
Yeah, she had to carry my child for 9 months. She was a receptacle, child, if you will.
God, why you're not dead, I'll never know.
Because I can run very fast.
Yes, and she was pregnant. She couldn't keep up. All right, new topic. Microsoft to tighten the genuine advantage screws. What in the world is that about?
Basically, Microsoft in Vista, in Windows Vista, they're going to tighten down. They're going to have several checks to see if it's authentic, and they're going to separate certain features from those who have a genuine copy and those who don't. So you'll be able to get things. If you have a genuine copy, you'll be able to get more applications like the Windows Defender and Windows Media Player 11, Explorer 7, updates to that. That'll be genuine only. Yeah, see?
Who would ever have thought of such a thing?
This is another discrimination against people who steal software. The pirates are getting it screwed over again. Just because they're committing a felony does not mean they should not get the same level of treatment and quality of service that the rest of us get.
Turn to her and say that. You know how she feels about piracy.
She loves piracy.
Well, I was just going to say, who would ever have thought of putting out a, I don't know, a software product of some kind and having it reward the people who actually had the legitimate copies. Exactly, like rewarding them with extra content and all kinds of stuff like that. Who would have thought of such a thing?
Apple? Doesn't everything come from Apple?
Everything comes from Apple. That's right. We'll be talking about that later in the show. Yeah.
You know, by now everyone's turned off their mic because this is really, really inappropriate. Or, you know, me. making like blue screen. You know, next time what you'll do is you'll just have me wear green. Yeah, everything pure green.
Yes.
And then it'll be like I'm not even here.
Right. Well, this is a work in progress, folks, and we're only doing this because people asked us to.
Right. We don't want to actually do this.
We don't
want
to do this.
Kristen,
I don't want to do this.
I did.
Don't. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody needs to see our faces. All right. Moving on. New topic. Brad?
This week marks the 25th anniversary of the IBM PC. It's hard to believe that back in 1981, IBM, which was then only known for a super big, powerful, expensive mainframes, put out a really fairly crappy, even by the time's standard, personal computer. They wanted to cash in on the market that Commodore and Apple were putting in. And so they came out with the IBM PC, which was run on an 8088 processor. It had, I think, only 64K of memory at the time. Very underpowered, but it was a huge hit. And IBM knew that the only way they could get to have a remotely decent price was they had to make a couple sacrifices. And by that, I mean, they couldn't write the operating system themselves. So they went out to Digital Research, and who was making a program, who made the most commonly used operating system at the time called CPM, and asked them, well, will you make the operating system for it? And CPM, which was Digital Research, actually, I think at the time it was called like Galactic Digital Research or some crazy name like that. But IBM hands them over a non-disclosure form to sign. And have you ever seen an IBM non-disclosure form?
No, never have.
I assume it's not one page?
No, it looks like you're signing your life away.
It's not a pamphlet.
So the hippies over at Digital Research refused to sign it. IBM went, oh, okay. And then they went to the guys who were going to provide them their basic programming language, a little company called Microsoft.
Mm.
And so they got to Bill Gates, and they said, yeah, we still need an operating system. And Bill Gates was the one actually originally had referred them to Digital Research, probably
really?
The last nice thing that Bill Gates ever did. I mean, can you imagine how history might have gone differently you know, what Bill Gates would be thinking. He'd be going like, stupid. So when they came back to me, said, well, did your research? They're kind of freaks over there. We need an OS.
Don't beat around the bush or anything.
Yeah. Bill Gates in true Microsoft style went, yeah, we got that. We have an operating system right now. Just give me a week. And so Bill Gates went to Seattle. I think it was called like Seattle Computing, and found a guy who was making a quasi-pirated version of CPM that was made for an 8086 and 8088 and bought it for $50,000. So bought the code. So yeah, I like what you're doing here. I'll give you a check for $50,000 if you give me that OS that you got that you might have stolen from digital research in the first place, but we don't know. There's plausible deniability. So they bought the
original don't ask,
they
don't
bought
tell.
It,
exactly.
Rebranded as MS-DOS and made one little special issue with IBM. They said, we want to be able to license this to any other computer makers, which IBM agreed to because they didn't think there'd be any other computer makers because...
Yeah, who would make a computer?
Right. Well, not that, but they didn't think that they could cobble together all the pieces that IBM was cobbling together and be remotely price competitive with IBM, believe it or not. Of course, they didn't. This was before the time of BIOS, like AMI BIOS, and I can't remember the others. And I know our listeners are no
like Phoenix and Ward.
Phoenix, you know, exactly. Who actually came up with a way to put it all on a chip? All those individual chips that IBM had.
Right.
But thus was born the Clone Wars, and by Compaq was in fact the first one to come up with a 386.
Clone Wars was 25 years ago.
Seriously, yeah, that's a long time ago.
I know, a long time ago. So that followed with the 8086, and remember the PC Junior and the 286, which IBM. That's where IBM lost control. A lot of people think, well, how did IBM really blow it? I mean, nowadays, IBM doesn't even make PCs. Did you know that?
I knew that.
Yeah.
I don't think I did know that
IBM,
anymore.
25 years later, IBM doesn't even make PCs. Wow. They sold their PC business to Red China. A country, unlike Iraq, where you can't have... You can't speak out and complain about the quality of your Lenovo computer.
Or make a podcast like this where you can burp on it.
Or yeah. How's blog, that, how is that IBM you got there? Of course, made in China.
Yeah, anyway. I was going to say, I'm so confused.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm just a girl.
Yeah. So anyway, IBM banked heavily on the 286 instead of the 386. And the 286 was not the best Intel chip at the time. This was back before they really had serious competition. And as a result, when the 386 came out, IBM was very late to it. And at that point, Compaq and other vendors, HP and others, had come out with competing chips or computing PCs that ran DOS just fine. And so IBM came up with one last attempt to recapture the market. The PS2 powered by OS2 made by IBM and Microsoft working together.
Woohoo!
But by then, Bill Gates had become more savvy.
Yes.
And so he hedged his bets with some throwaway DOS shell called Windows.
Mm.
And eventually there was a big nasty breakup. IBM went its way with OS2. Microsoft went their way with Windows.
It was a divorce.
Exactly.
Where did the children go?
One went with OS2 went with IBM, Windows with Microsoft, and the rest is history.
And I think
what happened to that Xerox operating system that everything was stolen from originally.
Xerox Park. That's from Xerox Park. They made. Oh God. See, I'm losing it. See the autism.
Yeah. Alzheimer's has kicked in.
Yes. The autism has kicked in, and I don't remember the Xerox. It came out in 1973. I think the original one. It was a workstation, but yeah, that's a different topic. That has nothing to do with IBM. That has to do with Apple and them stealing most of their ideas that they take credit for.
Yep. But.
That they now take credit for.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Not that we're trying to start a flame war with Mac users.
I do think that Apple did come up with the recycle or the trash can, though.
Apple did.
Yeah.
And that was a great concept.
And I think they may have come up with the clipboard, but I'm not positive whether that was from the Xerox. It's right on the tip of my brain.
Right. His brain has a tip, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
I have a pointy head, so.
Pointy. He's quite pointy in parts.
Pointy.
All right. So what's going on with Windows right now? Now, Windows Vista is coming up, and I Have they pushed the date back finally, or what's the deal?
No, they have not. And in fact, even today, as we record this, it looks like Microsoft plans to release Windows Vista in January, despite
unbelievable
many, many calls, including my own, that Microsoft push it back, put out a beta 3, and have a sanity check. In my opinion, Windows Vista is just not ready. It's a fantastic operating system. It's everything, not everything, but it's a lot what I and many others had hoped for Microsoft would do, but they're in a hurry to get it out, and I really think that's a mistake. I could be wrong.
I think so, too, and they're really banking on, I mean, not like their revenue is down so far or anything, but, I mean, obviously, you put out a new operating system, you want it to be a success.
Right.
Because you want to continue your monopolistic tactics, right? Mm-hmm. So you put out your operating
system. They don't need to do monopolistic tactics now. It's done.
It's already done, right. Well,
it's a given.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if they put out a crappy operating system, I mean, I really thought Vista was just going to be something else. I really did. But they have not put the time in, and it could be still.
Right.
But they haven't quite put the time into it to take care of some of these really outstanding issues that we've discussed on previous shows. So,
or that we see in our labs. I mean, it's pretty serious.
Yeah, they're serious issues. They're not just kind of a, well, I just don't like the way that works. It's like a, I can't run the 3D desktop on my laptop, right, kind of issue, or else my laptop battery only lasts 20 minutes.
Right.
That's a problem.
Literally.
That's
right.
A problem.
Well, they've made some strides on it. Essentially, think of Vista as a platform for taking all kinds of really cool new technologies and putting them together into the OS. The problem is that a lot of these technologies have never been tested together, and that's what they're doing. And right now, they're going to the release candidate mode, and they're just not working right. Everything from security, which works, but it's flaky. You have the networking stuff is funky. There's performance issues. They've got the memory under control before someone flames me. Yes, the memory has gotten better, but it's still not nearly fast enough for what you get. There's just instability, quirkiness. Some features aren't even, and you don't even hear them talked about. Like, you're going to put in Monad at one point. Which is a replacement with, yeah, exactly. What happened to Monad?
They just keep naming them. Gone.
WinFS,
gone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just amazing that they've taken some of this cool stuff. Now, it'll get in there, but why the hurry? Push it back 6 months, get this stuff together, and it'll be fantastic, especially given how lame, you know, macOS Leopard is looking.
Well, more people than not now, especially, are saying if you're going to miss the holiday season, you know, push it back anyway. Screw the holiday season. Do it right.
That's what really kills me is that I haven't seen anybody in the consumer arena or in the business arena saying, no, we need it now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want that by Christmas.
We don't need it now, Microsoft. We want a good operating system, not a now operating system.
Let it go.
We've got XP.
Right. XP works pretty well. And that was actually one of the things that we had a little bit of a flame war over on neo1.net about this. That
as you do.
Like, as I tend to do. Well, you always have the, you know, oh, Stardock's the devil, people. But
it is true.
The fact of the matter is, and this is the reality because it came up back in Windows 2000, if Windows XP plus Object Desktop can give you a lot of the user experience that Windows Vista does at a lower hardware point and faster performance, that is going to be a disaster. Even if Object Desktop only has a few million active users, it doesn't matter because it'll still come up over and over again with those early adopters of why am I moving to Vista, which if it's flaky, and I won't even get into, I will get into it because we're doing a podcast. How much time do we have left anyway?
Tons.
All right. Is that, what's that?
Stretch it out, man.
Yeah. Well, no, there's some serious problems. Almost everyone who's done these decrying on the release date are end users.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the half of it. I mean, as bad as it is from an end user point of view, from a development point of view, it's even worse because a lot of the technologies under the covers that we developers are supposed to use are just not ready. And so that's one of my concerns is, well, Windows Presentation Foundation is, you know, flaky. DirectX 10, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, you're starting to get used to it. You put in bug reports, you put in other things, and they're just not done. A lot of the sample applications run very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real problem, and you know we're trying to use this stuff. We really do. We want to use the latest .NET goodies, and we want to use Windows Present, you know, the good, the new Avalon stuff. But we're ending up having to use Milcore, which is underneath Avalon, and other stuff. And but we're even there, it's a minefield of what's fully implemented, what's not. And even going into release candidate mode, they're still tossing in things. Right. It's like, buddy, we should be, we these pretty things should be
really we should
done.
Be able yeah. to be making retail boxes for our products right now that say Vista ready.
Oh, exactly.
And we can't.
Yeah. In fact, our whole line of products that we're working on for, we have a bunch of Windows Vista stuff. Every new, I mean, we get 5472 and it doesn't work. We fix it, works on 5472. Then we get 5484. Mm-hmm. I'm losing track.
Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And it's got an issue. Now they're coming out with release candidate, which is like 59.
That's 5505.
55, yeah, 5505. Mm-hmm. And something else has changed because they're adding new things. And it's like, for crying out loud, you're going to a trade show in what, 3 weeks?
In three weeks,
we should be able, if Vista were, here's the test. When you go to Vista, when you go to the retail division, if half the people, half the software vendors aren't running Vista as their main machine,
right?
Then you know there's a real problem. And that's the problem. You can't run Vista yet as your primary machine for a normal person. Yes, I know half our listeners are probably like, I'm running it just fine. But it's like,
are you a software developer?
How about a software developer? Well, gosh, how's that scanner working? How's the that funky printer? How's the network, your Verizon
some
access card? Yeah, how's that DVD authoring tool you got? I mean, it just, barely works on XP. we won't touch that. But still, it comes up over and over that as soon as you start leaving the mainstream applications, and I'm talking the basically Office, right? Office and very pedestrian utilities, things get hazy. And that's, like I said, I'll be interested to hear how things go when you get back from retail vision.
Yeah. Well, so what's Apple doing in all this?
Well, meanwhile, God, you know, it's kind of ironic because Apple should be sitting golden. God, they're a bunch of pretentious dweebs. And I consider myself a geek.
I'll drink
I mean, look,
that.
I'm a geek. Back, but, yeah. But Apple just, oh.
Woo-hoo.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
Drinky. So Apple just announced Leopard, and it comes with a bunch of really – now, if you're an Apple zealot, the features that are in Leopard probably seem like a big deal because you're used to being bent over and screwed.
I beg your pardon, sir.
For, you know, year after year. But here in the 98% of the market that doesn't use a Mac, we look at it and go, oh, wow. Wow. Spaces. Yeah. Virtual desktops. Really, really neat. Ooh. Time Machine, which is another feature. I mean, Apple's the king.
Time Machine's pretty cool.
Yeah, really. I like it when
it's
called KeepSafe.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it doesn't work as well as KeepSafe.
Well, that's the
it doesn't have all that functionality.
I know.
The specific features that you appreciate the most in KeepSafe, not there in Time Machine. But Time Machine goes, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all neat.
Apple comes up with really cool names.
And a cool effect. And cool, you know, looking programs. They've got the graphic design elements down.
Right, but then you come out of functionality, it's like Spaces, ooh, fancy. It's virtual desktops. Sorry, been doing that for a long time.
Right.
Exactly. KeepSafe, which is going to retail this fall.
Yeah.
Kicks the crap out of Time Machine. Yeah. It doesn't have that funky effect, but of course,
it's function over form.
Well, exactly. KeepSafe is much better than Time Machine in terms
of definitely.
When you're looking for something to protect your data, function over form is really what you're going for. But
maybe you'll drive interest in, you know, KeepSafe. PC users will go, well, I wish I could do that. It's like, well, go on KeepSafe, except it's much better. But
it's much more gooder.
It's much gooder.
Gooder.
But what really chaffs me, though, about Apple Mac users, which is the point I wrote an article called Apple Preemptive Whining, is that they'll put in this stuff, and then they'll claim that all these people who have had it for years are copying off them. I mean, they complain that, let me give you an example, that Apple or Microsoft stealing their search stuff from Apple. It's like, what? You've got to be kidding. It's the opposite. Yeah,
just the icon.
Right.
And the shape of the bar.
Right.
No, but I mean,
the functionality.
The search stuff has been out for years. The email stuff, Apple, I hate to tell you, Microsoft's been bundling Outlook for some years now. Thank you. And
which will not be in Vista.
But they're rebranding it.
That's right. It'll be
they're
mailing.
Rebranding it, but that's about it. But it's. Microsoft does rip off from Apple, no doubt about it. But I mean, these features, Apple has nothing to crow about in what's in Leopard, and yet they're making it out like they're doing these revolutionary things, adding virtual desktops and and shadow. And by the way, Windows 2003 had I think it was called Shadow Copy in there, which is similar to Time Machine. Mm-hmm. So there's a case where they're actually stealing something from, not stealing, but putting in something that was already there. But Apple, you got a good product. I like Mac hardware. I like the OS. Let the product sell itself. Don't be so freaking pretentious and get and because it spreads to your users. And a lot of people, I actually know a lot of people, as in two-digit level people, who will not buy a Mac just because they don't want to be associated with the freaking zealots. I mean, heck, I saw the Mac Turbo came out.
Digress, Brad.
But I digress. Oh, I could just go over and over and over. The Apple being behind.
Kind of time,
exactly. So anyway, bottom line is, let your product sell your product. Don't go bashing your competitors all the time.
Yes, please. Please. We're begging you. All right. That is our tech news. We have game news. And at this point, yes.
What? What happened?
We've kept him under the desk. No, at this point, I would like to say that Joel is not here this week. And the reason is because we're doing this video cast. And
we can barely get this working.
We can barely get this working is what I'm basically saying.
Yeah.
Do I need to punch one?
We were having a moment, and I forgot we were being watched.
Yes, avidly. There,
I hate to tell you this, but at Stardock, you're always being watched.
Ooh, that's true.
That's a good point.
Maybe not in the same quality, but there's cameras everywhere.
He looks.
I knew it. See that?
Oh yeah. Okay. Where that one is in here.
Two, actually.
So if I just get in that corner and do whatever it is I'm going to do, like pee on the floor, which is what I do.
I'll drink to that.
Kristen, after 8, 9 videos of you peeing on the floor, it's just the same squatting. It's only so many times you go, what's she doing? Oh my God.
It's just another day for the Piddle Princess.
Someone asks us, wow, we really ham it up on this show, but I had to say it, but
people don't believe that we sit here and drink.
No, well, we don't drink normally at work, but
yeah, never.
Right.
Never.
And, but it's a pretty laid back atmosphere. Though no moobs talk.
Moobs?
Please. I had a 20-minute conversation with you on the phone today about moobs. Yes, please.
Okay.
I'm taking mine in little sips because, it does taste like ass.
Little sip.
Yeah, little sip. Okay. Anyway.
I'm saving up for margaritas. A margarita has 500 calories.
Calories.
I'm aware of that. Yes. Sadly aware of that. But I think I've lost enough weight. Woohoo!
That you can drink
Diet
it back on.
Cooper.
You've lost weight? You can't tell.
Screw you. So I'm going
to kill. Do I have to separate you two?
Yeah.
It actually happens.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of you.
You want to see actually happens?
Ah! Ooh. It's okay, Derek.
Fine.
You're safe now. This is a very... Power User TV, the most violent podcast on the internet.
My eye! I'm in my happy place now.
I'm okay. By the way, we needed you to sign certain liability forms.
Anytime.
Now would be a good time.
All righty, so...
After you finish that drink.
I'll drink to that.
All right, what's next?
Gamers have problems.
What?
Thank you.
This is my space.
Thank you.
My space.
Brad has personal space
issues.
Speaking
of my space... We have a call-in.
That's right.
Joshua Carroll.
Yes.
Our old buddy Josh.
Our old buddy Josh, who we've talked to before.
Yeah.
What's he got
to
say?
He called in. He hearkened us back to episode 50.
Wow, all the way back there.
All the way. Just
like I can remember
ages
that far
ago.
Back. Seriously.
Right. And we mentioned that MySpace was now the number one visited website.
Yes.
And he he wanted to know, because apparently we didn't mention, who finds this stuff out?
Well, that's a good question, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who does find this stuff out?
Well, why don't we let him ask his question first?
All right. Fine.
Hey, this is Joshua Carroll. I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm actually just catching up on the past few weeks of the show. And I was curious, you'd mentioned in episode 50 that MySpace had reached number one. Well, who actually sets these rankings? Where does this come from? I was just curious. I didn't hear you mention that. Maybe you did. Maybe I just missed it. So, again, love the show. Keep it up. Later.
So the green line there represents the visitors going to Google, and the blue line there, the sharp ascending one, is
go ahead.
Is MySpace, believe it or not.
And it was Google's research?
No.
Where they found this out?
No. It was Bill Tanzer at Hitwise, which they analyze these things. That's basically they do.
How did they analyze it?
I don't know.
I think that was his question, is how did they know?
Well, I mean, how do we ever know, Brad? How do we know how many visitors we have to our websites?
We know because it's our servers.
Right. So presumably they find out by getting the information from the companies, perhaps.
Raw logs and such.
Which could be lies. Mm-hmm. It's true. There's lies, then there's damn lies, then there's statistics.
There's a few things they could do, depending on privacy of different ISPs. They could go to, say, the five top ISPs using their router destinations, figure out where the destination is of a particular user, mm-hmm. and just do it that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're doing it, but so I guess we didn't really answer his question.
No, we really didn't, but we've got some kind of proof. Look, we just report the stories, people. We don't actually,
we used Alexa, and Alexa's really accurate
because
it's in hundreds of toolbars.
Never lies.
Never lies.
Ever.
And Firefox users don't throw off the curve at all.
According to Alexa.com, Neowin.net's Alexa ranking is better than WinCustomized.com's.
Is that right?
Yes.
Fascinating.
But I have access to both the logs, so I know which site actually gets more daily traffic.
Interesting.
So Alexa's not always right.
We suspect that either people who go to Neowin aren't using Alexa, or maybe they're using Firefox or Opera.
No. People going to Neowin has a better Alexa ranking.
Oh, they have a better Alexa ranking. I see. Well, then vice versa.
Is that also due to people linking to it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why Alexa is that way. Mm. But, I mean, Neowin gets a ton of traffic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize just how many visitors Neowin gets. Mm. Win Customize has a native advantage because people are coming to Win Customize that download wallpapers and skins and themes and icons and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
and if they're not, they should be.
Well, it's free.
Right.